Joey, you ever hang around the gymnasium?
It's the best and worst of non-horror, and we're continuing with one of our favorites, Airplane. Darren, Airplane, 1980. It's the best comedy, I think, of all time. You know how I know this? It's been registered to be preserved in the catalog here in America.
What, the AFI or?
All of them.
Okay.
Congress, you know, the Library of Congress and the Registry, they've all decided to preserve this movie as culturally important.
Oh, okay.
And it is. I think it's the best comedy of all time.
Yeah, it takes a swipe at everyone, doesn't it? doesn't matter who you are. Nobody's safe in this film. But it's, you know, like you say, it's. I think it's an important movie in cinematic history. Like you say, so many people cite it as the greatest comedy of all time. I think it is. I think it's there with Blazing Saddles and... what else would you put there?
Trading Places.
And, you know, I mean, a lot of people wouldn't get on with these comedies nowadays, but, you know, these are from when I was a kid and I love them. And so you're not going to change my mind about that. But yeah, I've mentioned this before lots of times. I saw this in the cinema when it came out in the UK with my dad on a day when I was ill. There was hardly anyone in the cinema. And my dad laughed the cinema down all the way through it. I laughed, you know, a number of times. I was probably about 7 years old, so I think a lot of gags went over my head. It's also, you know, it's more visual than what the Naked Gun is. You're constantly looking for gags throughout. And I discovered a gag today. It's true. What people say is every time you watch Airplane, you find something new. I discovered a gag today that completely I didn't understand.
The horse.
No, we'll come to it in a bit. We'll come to it in a bit. But it's just a masterpiece in comedy, isn't it? It really is.
Yeah. And it follows the movie 030?
Zero Hour.
Zero Hour. Is Macho Grande even a real place?
I've no idea at all. Is George Zip a real person? I don't know. But who cares? I mean, I spent years trying to figure this out, and eventually I just had to Google it today, and it is supposedly World War II. But as we know, Ted Stryker's probably around about 30 in this film. So
we know that
really...
Ethel Merman's real, though.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I know who Ethel Merman is. I've learned subsequently since I've seen this last about one other person that's joked about in this film. And there are probably loads of jokes that just go over my head. Completely, because there are a lot of cameos from American TV and sports stars, right?
Which, oh, correct, yes.
Yeah, and there's one very special person that they make a joke about, which I never picked up on before in my life until, like I said earlier, until today, which I'm quite proud of that I understood a new joke in Airplane. So,
did you pick up on the breast when you were 7?
Yeah, that was weird. Like... being a 7-year-old kid in the cinema and then that happens.
Next to your pop.
In a PG rate. Oh, he wouldn't care.
he didn't go, like, cover your eyes. Son.
No, he didn't do anything like that. He wouldn't bother about that. He was enjoying them too much himself. but it does. That would never. A lot of this stuff would never be rated a PG these days. But yet, when it first came out, actually, I think it was an A rating, which was before PG came in, but it's the equivalent of. Mm-hmm. And you get all that stuff with Peter Graves, with the kid, you know, where he's kind of... is he grooming?
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, okay, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Because if you and I right now, if you and I don't go through our lines and our moments... because we can expand on them once we talk about them. You and I are going to be going through what we think is the best and worst moments without going through them just by talking about this movie.
Yeah, let's crack on.
All right. Your best character for Airplane?
It has to be Ted Stryker, Robert Hayes.
Okay.
I think that, you know, as a relatively unknown actor, At the time, I think he comes on board with incredible comic timing, both verbally and physically. The rest of the cast were old pros, and I think that the genius of the of Zucker and Abrahams is that they got classic actors in there, making them step out of their comfort zone and do things that they wouldn't ever dream of doing. Peter Graves saying the things that he says, Lloyd Bridges hanging from the ceiling upside down sniffing glue, Robert Stack beating people up in an airport. What else have you got in there? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Who else? You also have
Leslie Nielsen coming off like a horror movie.
Nielsen, who just done kind of trashy stuff in the past.
Yeah. Columbo, you know, he's done that.
Yeah, yeah. And so you get all these people in there, and everybody just has the time of their life. Like, I dread to think what was cut out of this film or what wasn't used. It's a really slick 88 minutes or something, but there must have been so much stuff because some of these gags are so quick that you can just imagine that there were different takes. Well, we know for a fact by listening to the commentary that the movie was full on R-rated to begin with before they had to dial things back, particularly where little, what's his name? Was the kid named Jimmy, Johnny?
Joey,
that's it, Joey. Particularly where he was concerned. So, I just think that what's really fascinating about it is that as the film progresses, they introduce more and more funnier characters. So you start off with Robert Hayes, then a little bit further into the film you get Lloyd Bridges, then a little bit further in you get Leslie Nielsen that turns up, then all of a sudden Robert Stack turns up, and you just have this massive ensemble of classic actors just taking the piss out of themselves and having a wonderful time.
And yeah, serious actors, these are Emmy winning military type actors, drama actors, and you're right, just having them, you know, they must have had a giggle. And really quick, we have a little connection here with Airplane. They gave and American Werewolf. We have American Werewolf to thank for Airplane, because remember, they gave him the copy of the script and said, how do I write a script? Here you go.
Yeah.
Have a copy.
Yeah. And also in American Werewolf, Airplane's poster is in the tube station as well.
As a thank you.
Yeah. But it's what also is as good as Robert Hayes is in this. And the reason I'm saying he's the best character is because how intimidating must it have been to have come into this movie in front of all these legends and to be able to kind of hold your own like he does and not look at all intimidated, scared, just having fun like everyone else. It's so weird. It staggers me that this guy really didn't go on to do much else. He did do other things, but he never quite made it as a Hollywood star, which is such a shame. I mean, he was a good looking guy, had great screen presence, all that stuff, breaking the fourth wall. Fantastic. He deserved to do better in his career. I don't know whether, because he did these two films, whether people thought he was just typecast and so they stayed away from him. I remember him doing a film called Take This Job and Shove It. And then I remember him doing Homeward Bound. That was it. Yeah. But nothing of any real significance. Nothing that really pushed him into the kind of A-list category at all. It's a shame. Really, a real shame.
Yep. And he also did some TV movie about going back in time and trying to stop the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, wow. I never saw
that. Yeah. No, neither did anybody else. Yeah. my best character, I guess I would have to go to, there's so many. There's so many, and I would have to go with Captain Clarence Over, Peter Graves, because of what of a serious person he was, and then him still acting serious throughout this whole movie. I like it. I like sarcasm.
Yeah,
you know, I'm probably one of the biggest guys doing and loving sarcasm. and just him, hearing him interact with people and keeping a straight face, and what he says to Joey is part of my best moments. It's just hilarious. Hilarious. And then, of course, he shows up at the second one, and he's just the same Captain Over, isn't he? The same one. And him doing the you know, a lot of his own stunts, you know, because when he gets six, he gets the, the shakes, and he goes all jelly-like.
Followed by the inevitable drooling. At this point, the entire digestive system collapses, accompanied by uncontrollable flatulence.
Having him do that must have scared... what did they say who they were scared of the most was Robert Stack.
Yeah, we'll get onto that.
Yeah, but yeah, I have to go with Captain Over just because of how shocking it is for my best moment and how he's involved. And
yeah, yeah.
Every time I watch reaction videos and everybody does a first time reaction of watching Airplane, it's that part that makes everybody go, ooh. And him thinking nothing of it. But okay, your worst character.
I really struggled with. I really thought hard about whether Julie Hegarty was the worst thing in this. I don't think she is. And even if she is, it's not a worse character at all. She's great in this film, but she always seems to me to be the kind of weakest character in it. I always felt that she never quite relaxed enough with some of these gags. She was always a bit kind of stiff, and it didn't come natural to her like it does with the rest of the cast. However, I do still think that she's integral to this. And I ended up going for, and I really had to think hard about this, I went for Mrs. Over. Why is she in bed? Right, okay, why is she in bed with a horse? And is it just like a bestiality gag that she's playing away from home? Is it a Godfather gag? I don't know. It's just really odd. And then when she, you know, they bring her into the film sort of two-thirds of the way through, and she really adds nothing to it apart from that scene with Robert Stack when he's doing that kind of speech. And she's kind of holding on to him and starts rubbing his chest.
She's undersexed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just to bring this horny middle-aged woman into the film for no reason.
But her husband likes you know, certain types of movies.
He does. But
she's no different than what's her name in American Werewolf, Nurse Gallagher.
Yes, she is a little bit, isn't she? Yeah, yeah. And actually, now you mentioned American Werewolf in London, Elmer Bernstein, who did the score for this, also did American Werewolf in London as well. And he just nails it, absolutely nails it. So hats off to him as well, wherever he is.
I could see why you may pick Julie, but then I also realized that Otto would have been mad at you if you did.
Great gag. Great gag.
She was actually keeping a lot of people relaxed in that movie, especially him. I had a problem with my worst person as well, my worst character, and I had to put him down because I find him annoying. What about Johnny?
So it's interesting you say that, because there are some gags that really make me laugh. Other ones I'm just like, ugh, this doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
And that comes into some of my best and worst lines, but
he does become annoying.
He does kind of overdo it. Whereas there's some great gags that he does. And even in Airplane 2 as well, he's in that briefly as well. And he's quite funny in that. But Steve Stucker played him. I didn't really see him in anything else other than the Airplane and Airplane 2. And sadly, the guy died like really young. He was 38. He died in.
But he didn't look 38 in this movie.
He looked older, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, in this movie, so he died in 86. This was filmed in 79. He was 31 in this film. Sadly, like you say, he died in 86. He was in Trading Places as the station master.
Was he?
Yeah.
He must have been just a blink of an eye.
Yeah, yeah. He only did a few things: Mork and Mindy, Kentucky Fried Movie, Bad Manners, Hot Resort. Yeah, but I'm on the fence about him. I did consider him as my worst character, but he has too many lines that do make me laugh. So
yeah, it's just okay. I put it this way: what would you do if you were stuck in a room with him as his character? Would you try to get out?
Unbearable.
that's why I put him.
I do actually work with some people like that.
Yeah, you know, and he'd be making fun of, you know, people gaining weight and people dressing. you know, you're just like, son of a bitch. He actually does no help. He does nothing to help out the situation. except for put the lights back on.
Sitting in the office, working away, and he's bashing away on the typewriter or computer like that. It'd just do my head in. It really would. I get why you might pick him, but he does have some lines, which we'll talk about soon. Yeah.
Again, grasping straws here.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
Okay. Your best line. I picked so many, but I had to pick. I had to keep one.
I've written like five down. Six.
Go ahead, because I got them some in my head. Okay, so your main best line.
There isn't one particular line. It's just like, I'll just go through the ones I've written down.
Okay.
Nervous? Yes. First time? No, I've been nervous lots of times. The two kids that sit down and he goes, I happened to be passing. I thought you might like some coffee.
Cream? No, thank you. I take it black. Like my man.
And he just stares at her.
12-year-old girl, for God's sake. This is the line that this is the gag that I got for the first time today.
I want the best available man in this. A man who knows that plane inside and out and won't crack under pressure.
How about Mr. Rogers?
Now, I didn't get that for years because I didn't know who Mr. Rogers was. But since the documentary, the movie with Tom Hanks, now I know. It's a funny gag that I've discovered.
Yeah, he's been on subway cars with gang members.
Exactly. Not going to crack under pressure. So that was another one. I was really proud of myself. And I really laughed. I actually called my wife in and said,
I got it.
It's a gag. Another gag I found in Airplane. Anyway, she watched it and she got it as well. And then there's another one. This is another Jacobs one, which is quite funny. When they're reading the newspaper and passing it over to each other, passenger certain to die, airline negligent.
There's a sale at Penny's.
He doesn't give a shit, does he?
He doesn't. And that's what's great about it. And then the other one is Robert Stack when he's chatting to some of his control tower men.
Yeah.
And the guy's got his finger in his ear.
Get that finger out of your ear. You don't know where that finger's been.
So random.
but that's what men do. They discover themselves and take a whiff.
I mean, you could go on and there's, you know, surely you can't be serious and shit's going to hit the fan and there's so much stuff. And that shit looks awful, doesn't it, when it hits that fan?
God. Looks like a dog's dinner.
But yeah, I mean, that's just a few of them. There are so many to really. I don't have a single best line, but lots of lines that I find genuinely hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm the same way. You know, I crack up every time. You know, I just added one in my head right now, but that one is just hang loose, blood. She can get you something to rebound on the meta side. What are you talking about? Big Mom, I dug her rap. Cut me some slack, Jack. You know, I speak jive. And then the little quotes on the bottom. I know what she said.
Yeah.
Cole got to be.
Oh, when he goes,
golly.
golly.
At R-E-S-P-E-C-T. But my favorite line of all time is this, the hell I don't.
I've been hearing that crap ever since I was at UCLA. I'm out there busting my buns every night. Tell your old man to drag Walton and Lanier up and down the court for 48 minutes.
You know what, though? I knew, as a young kid, I knew who Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was.
But you probably didn't know who Walton and Lanier were.
Who?
Again, they were huge basketball centers. They were his opponents when he was in the NBA. That's why he says, I think you're great, but my dad doesn't think you even tried. He's like, except for in the playoffs. The hell I don't. Because he just wants to break away from that lifestyle. He wanted to do something else. He wanted to be a co-pilot. And he didn't want anyone to recognize who he was. And somebody did, and it was a little kid. It was just so hilarious to see actually him do comedy. as well.
And when he falls ill and they drag him out of the seat and he's got shorts and basketball shoes on.
And the glasses, the protective. And he was also in another Zucker Abrahams film. He was in Basketball.
Oh, was he really?
He was in the display case of sports memorabilia. Okay. And, you know, when, what's his name? Matt Stone turned around. You see Kareem just look at him. And he comes back. And then at the end, he does a time clock punch.
Oh, right. Okay. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, but I get a kick out of that line, too. okay. How about a worse line? Again, grasping straws.
Okay. And they're two Jacobs lines. And again, yeah, they're still okay, but just getting towards that point of annoyance with that character. Mm-hmm. And it's we're going to the tower.
The tower? Rapunzel! Rapunzel!
And also, bad news. The fog is getting thicker.
And Leon's getting larger.
The guy's just kind of looking at him going... Yeah, so those are the only two worst lines that I could really think of. And, you know, a lot of people could get the arsehole over some of the jokes, particularly yeah, poking fun at Jewish people. But hell, this is written and directed by Jewish people. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah,
I saw some reviews recently saying it's anti-Semitic, and it's like, are you sure? Have a look at who wrote and directed this, for crying out loud. There are a couple of, you know, gags in there which I get some people, younger people nowadays might not like, but
please,
it's few and far between. It really is.
Yeah,
it's so stupid. If anybody wants to take this seriously, then you shouldn't be watching it whatsoever.
No, you need to be locked up in a closet somewhere and sit there with your
issues,
your foffles. Yeah. How about this? I never got this either. When I still don't get it, because the commercial's not around anymore. Jim never has a second cup of coffee at home.
Yeah, what is that? Because that's...
I think it's a Folgers Crystal coffee, like where he actually... the commercial is he asks for another cup of coffee, and the wife actually asks, says, you know, he never has another cup of coffee at home. But then the person brings over, oh, because maybe you should try this. And I think it's like Folgers. But I don't get it. And I never got it, and I still don't get it because the commercial's not around anymore.
Right. Okay. So it's a play on a commercial.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you also have, you know, I gotta go. You know, there's milk in the fridge. You can let yourself out, and the horses. Or, you know, Shemp, the dog. You know, give me your Shemp. And just still attacks the liaison from the airport. Still goes after him. They don't give a crap. Because that she bothered me a little bit too. You got this dog attacking, you know, a guy that works with your husband, and you're not doing anything. But again, that's part of the gag.
Yeah,
that's part of the gag. Okay, we're on to gags now. Your best gag.
Again, there are so many.
Ugh.
I love the bit for starters. I love the bit at the beginning when Captain Over's in the newspaper stand. Mm-hmm. And they've categorized the magazines into fiction, nonfiction, and whacking material. Fantastic. Really, again, one of the sight gags and things going on in the background are there's so many in this film, like people pretending to clean windows that aren't even yep, there, and people walking through, people stepping through mirrors, you know, it's...
What about the drug dealing in the background?
There's all sorts of stuff. You know what? There's one gag that really makes me laugh every time I see it. And it's in the background, and if you blink, you'll miss it. There's that old guy who's confessed to having an affair to his wife, and he mm-hmm. goes, and she's the one. I think she's the one where the eggs are coming out of her mouth. I think.
Yes.
There's a moment where he says, "Are you a little warm? Shall I put the aircon on?" And he puts some aircon on, and the whole plane are like there's a guy sat behind him who has the longest eyebrows and the longest beard and everything
almost
in his hair
fake
as well. It's just blowing back. His eyebrows are going right. Best gag again, Robert Stack walking through the airport, beating everyone up. And that bit where he kind of rolls over the back of that guy and kicks the other guy.
Reverend Moon. Jews for Jesus.
Oh. Read about Jehovah's Witness. How about Buddhism?
How about Buddhism?
I think he does it twice. Mm-hmm. He was 61. And because I was looking, I was thinking, is this a camera trick? Is it a stunt man that's doing this?
It's him.
Not, it's him. Nails that guy. Nails. He's tough as a brick shithouse, isn't he?
I think Jews for Jesus.
He really does. Like, his physical presence in that scene where he's first in, well, it's not when he's first introduced, it's when he's getting to the airport. But
yeah.
It's just amazing watching him do all that physical stuff.
And he is untouchable.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And then finally, my favorite gag, one that I just crease up at every time because it's so stupid. And it's McCroskey and Kramer chatting away, and they're discussing why they've gone off course. And he goes, they're about 2 miles off course. That's impossible.
That's impossible. They're on instruments.
I think someone that's on a bass, stupid.
Someone on a clarinet. It's fantastic. I laugh so much at that every time it's on. Brilliant. It is stupid, but it's fun.
Wow. Oh, I'd rather watch the Girl Scouts fight.
We'll get to that.
Okay. I got two okay. Myself.
Okay.
The one gag I crack up all the time, not because of the act, but because of the reaction afterwards. And that's when the egg is coming out of the lady's mouth. And the doctor, Leslie Nielsen, cracks it open and the bird flies out and nearly hits the guy in the back of the head.
I'll be back in a minute.
In the back,
the back, of the back of the plane, like,
which they said was unintentional. Was unintentional, and he just went like this. But my best gag is, of course, looks like I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue, and he does it right in front of us.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue.
You can't show that in a movie right now.
Oh, really? I'm not surprised. Yeah.
And he's, and his eyes get big and he goes for the other nostril and he falls backwards and he falls down. And the next scene you see him in, he's hanging upside down and he thinks the airplane's coming at him. And he jumps out the window.
Yeah. Good old Lloyd Bridges.
And he's a comedy man.
Yeah. I mean, for the back end of his career was filled with comedy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What do they call those films? Hot Shots and...
Yeah.
He'd done a few things, didn't he?
Seinfeld, he did a couple of episodes there. Yeah. But a lot of us still say that. Looks like I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue.
Yeah. I mean, it's pop culture, right? Quit drinking, quit smoking, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Your worst gag.
I have two. The first one is stupid and doesn't really get a reaction out of me. It's the Siamese twins when he orders one to go one way and one to go the other, and they're just pulling each other. I'm still laughing at it, even though I think it's one of the worst gags. And then the other one, which I just think is almost like the anthill mob or something like that, is the press running into the call booths.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's when the plane lands and they all go to report the story and they run through the call booths and the call booths just fall over.
Yep.
Physical pratfall or whatever you want to call it, but, you know, it didn't really get much reaction out of me.
Yeah, I could see that. How about this one? Stryker breaking the fourth wall saying, what a pisser.
Oh, I like that. I like the fourth wall breaking.
There's only one king of fourth wall breaking, and it's not
Nielsen.
Him. And it's not him either.
Oh, really?
No, it's Oliver Hardy.
Oh, okay.
that's the king of fourth
walls.
He was
long gone at this point.
People forgot about him. Yeah, that one. And also it's stupid, but I laugh every time as well. You know, where the girl's IV is coming out.
There is only one river, there is only one sea, and it flows through you.
But she's sucking it in her face, and she's trying to grab it. I know it is. But you know what it is? I laughed at it so much, I stopped laughing at it. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
I know what you mean, but I think it's a great moment. Do you know what I like about it? It's people's reactions when she first starts to sing. You know, yeah. The two monks are kind of looking at each other, and that
they're guy, all leading out.
Guy drops down from the ceiling.
And what about getting crash positions?
Oh, with the monks doing the...
yeah, they're all like, kind of stupid, right?
Also, there's little other things like, you know, like the messages that are the lighting on the wall, like put on your seatbelt, and then it's in Spanish underneath, and it's like put on under seatbelt or something.
Yeah.
some really stupid, cool stuff.
The Pinocchio nose.
Yeah. I mean, there's that as well.
Yeah. But it's stupid laughs, right? Yeah, you're like, oh God, I can't believe they did that. It's
stupid throughout. But it never ages. You never tire of watching it.
No.
I'm sure if I mean, the problem was that over the years, even when by the time it gets to Naked Gun, I think, certainly when it gets to Scary Movie, the Zucker brothers just kind of, they used every gag in the book, and it didn't become funny. It was less funny over the years. It was just rehashed gags from other movies, and I think, you know, that's why I worry a little bit about the new Naked Gun. So it'll be interesting to see how they're
going to
breathe new life into that, especially when, you know, there are less things to poke fun at these days.
Before we get to our best moment, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen the files from the Files of Police Squad, or just Police Squad,
yeah,
please do, because I think there are a lot of them are on YouTube for free to watch.
Yeah.
And one of the running gags was, you know, they tell you who all the characters were and who the actors are. They actually had Abraham Lincoln being shot, but he was firing back at Booth. It was a gag.
They
blew off his hat and he fired at him. But they would have guest stars, but the guest stars would either die or get arrested in the credits.
That's right. They would do it every week, wouldn't they? Famous guest star would be in the opening credits and get shot or run over or something like that. We're going a little bit off track here because we're going to do Naked Gun next.
Yeah.
But a lot of gags from Police Squad were kind of rehashed. There's a lot of rehashed gags from Airplane in Police Squad, and there's a hell of a lot of rehashed gags from Police Squad in Naked Gun.
It's a trail, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just follows the trail.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your best moment.
I think the flashback to the bar. The flashback scene, I think it's fantastic. It doesn't have any of those legends in there or anything, and it's just testament to Robert Hayes's performance in this film and comedic timing and things. That dance that he does, Saturday Night Fever, with her as well when she's throwing him around. But there's one particular moment in that which I just crease up every time. It's when he's doing that kind of Russian kind of Cossack dance on the dance floor, and he ends up doing it like with no hands, and his legs are going he's doing that and his face lights up as he's doing it. He's got this massive smile on his face, and then he starts juggling, and I just think that whole sequence in that bar, from the bar fight to her dancing with the guy stabbed in the back, going all that, and he's trying to point it.
Yeah, she's mimicking it.
Yeah, it's just a great sequence. It really is. And even that doesn't give you any clue really to what war they're in or what war they were in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just a really funny flat. And it was very sort of topical at the time as well, because Saturday Night Fever had just came out, and not so much topical, but you know, there's a kind of play on From Here to Eternity in there as well. It's just fantastic. It really is. Those flashback scenes are just great. whether he's in the jungle, in the hospital. Those scenes are really funny as well, like you say, with Ethel Merman. And I just think that those moments are when Robert Hayes really comes into his own, because he's not relying on people like Leslie Nielsen or Lloyd Bridges, Robert Stack, or whatever to kind of carry the gag. He's doing it all himself, and I just think he's fantastic in those opening scenes.
I had to ask the guy next to me to pinch me to see if I was dreaming.
That dirty old bar and his kind of white aviator outfit, isn't it?
Yeah, his navy outfit.
Throws
his hat and it hits the bartender on the way back. So this guy is like, what the... and the Girl Scouts are still fighting.
Right to the very end. Right to the, from the start of that scene right to the very end, they're still rocking.
My best moment is Joey in the cockpit.
You ever been in a cockpit before?
No, sir. I've never been up in a plane before.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen the Blu-ray, the special edition Blu-ray, if you get to that part and, you know, they have where if you press a button when a certain symbol comes up, it'll go to a commentary of that. If you guys watch this or buy this Blu-ray and you get that version, Zucker and Abrahams Abrahams will actually tell you what they were actually meant to say, what the actual dialogue was supposed to be, but they went too far.
Yeah.
But that whole thing with him interacting with Kareem and Peter Graves, and him just saying, "You ever seen a grown man naked?" comes out of nowhere. Out of nowhere.
You ever hang around the gymnasium?
And
hang around
the reaction of every person. You like movies about gladiators? Yeah. Seeing everybody's reaction for the first time, it makes that scene priceless.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely priceless. Coming from a serious actor.
Mm-hmm.
And even the second one, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, and Scraps is a boy, dog. You're like hanging out the gymnasium. Best thing about that movie. Best thing because of everyone's reactions when they see it for the first time.
Not what you expect him to say whatsoever. And the fact that no one else is really responding to it as well. They're just kind of getting on with their shit. It just makes it even funnier. Because the kid keeps wandering back in.
Yeah, yeah. And then he finds... Yeah, his dad's getting sick and he goes, wow. Because remember, the plane's nothing but a big Tylenol.
Yeah, with wheels.
Joey, have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
Ladies and gentlemen, we got to stop here because we can go on and on forever with Airplane. We hope we did it justice because Darren and I have to stop. There's so many lines, so many scenes that we could just talk about. You know, maybe we'll do a watch along one day.
Oh, I'd love to. I'm not a massive fan of watch alongs, but I would love to do one with this, you know, because I'm sure there's a lot of our, there probably is a lot of our membership on or subscriber base that haven't seen this film, you know, and I think that. You know, you get in a group situation like that, and I think people will enjoy it. I think it'd be really interesting to do.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're on next to Phil to record Naked Gun.
Oh. That's just what they'll be expecting us to do.
Darren, surely we'll be on the next episode talking about something funny.
Yeah. I'm not playing.
Okay, never mind. All right, ladies and gentlemen, as always, stick to the roads.
And the best of luck.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.